take your Bibles this morning, and I would like for you to turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. We come to the beginning of the year. Next week is our Faith Promise Missions Conference. Today's sermon, I think it will launch us into a new year. This is a time of new beginnings. It's a time where we feel like we have a little bit of maybe a new lease on life, a new lease on a few projects. But at the same time, next week, we have our Faith Promise Missions Conference, and we ask you by faith to do some things. The sermon this morning is called The Power of Faith. The Power of Faith. Hebrews chapter 11. Take your Bible, turn there, and then stand with me, if you would, please. Hebrews chapter number 11. I'm going to read out loud, and you can follow along silently. Now, let's minimize the interruptions. Make sure your telephone is off. If you must step out, try not to draw a lot of attention to yourself. Here we go. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." The Bible tells us that which is not of faith is sin. You and I are to live by faith. I want to talk to you about this precious and powerful subject of faith this morning. And let's pray. Holy Spirit of God, please reach down from heaven and do a supernatural work in our midst. I don't know what's going on everywhere else in this world today, but I do know this. We need the heavenly power of the Holy Ghost to shine in upon us in this place, this day. To me, the most important thing going on anywhere on this globe today is happening right here in this auditorium right now. Oh God, help this not just to be another day at church, but might it be that divine appointment that you planned for us with you today. God, change us, challenge us, stir us, make a difference. Help us to leave here today different than when we came in, better because of the Bible, stronger because of thy Spirit, energized by thy truth. Bless us now, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. For most of you, you know that in Hebrews chapter 11, there is what we call a hall of fame of those who have exercised faith. There's a long list of people in Hebrews chapter 11, and they're people that were known for their faith. But I want you to understand something. There are a lot of common people in Hebrews chapter 11. You take, for instance, in Hebrews 11, you find listed a man by the name of Gideon. Gideon was actually, in the beginning of his ministry, was just a frightened farmer. But he ends up in the Hall of Fame of faith. Moses, we all look at Moses, and we know how powerful Moses was, but you do understand that he was an adopted fugitive from justice. We look at Rahab. She's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. She was a woman that in her early life was a fallen woman, yet used of God in a powerful way. Jephthah was an illegitimate son, unwanted by his family, but he's listed in this chapter of powerful, powerful faith. You know, usually the people who are historically enshrined or considered heroes are treated so because they did something great. Hebrews chapter 11, the people are mentioned because they could not do something great. So they trusted God to do something great through them. The greatest works are the works done by people that couldn't do it. So they called upon a supernatural power, and they let God do through them what they could not do on their own. Folks, tough times, I suppose, demand tough faith. You say, "I'm going through a difficult time." Difficult times then require powerful faith. I'm going to tell you a few things that I do by faith. For instance, we're giving these silly glasses away next week. When I give a promotional item away, I have to by faith make an order. I make an order of a quantity of what I need for that Sunday. I, by faith, am looking for a great day. You know, you take our homecoming, and we look for a big day on homecoming. There's an awful lot of faith that goes into homecoming day. Martha could tell you, when we're planning the meal and everything and all that goes into it, what happened? We, in advance, reached out and believed that God was going to do something, and we acted upon it. And that's a part of what faith is. I'm going to tell you something that I do by faith. I'm not asking anybody here. I'm not even sure it would be smart for you to do. But I tithe by faith. I tithe before my check, not after. I had a particular businessman that came to me years ago. He said, "Brother Owens, let me into a little bit of your private life and your finances. Tell me something about how you handle certain things." I told him that. I said, "I tithe by faith. I give before God gives to me." And that particular man, he asked me, he said, "Do you think that would work?" He said, "I've got some contracts." I said, "Try it." He said, "There was a contract that I bid on. I went ahead and started to tithe as if I were going to get the contract." He said, "I got the contract." You say, "But wonder if you don't get the contract." Well, you're not out your money. You're not out your money. It's not a bad investment. You say the stock market's going to reach 20,000. God's stock market's so far beyond that, it's incredible already. You've been looking at the wrong digital numbers. God knows what He's doing. Y'all remember when we needed our new building, we looked all over the place. We looked at some buildings that were far less than what this building was. I don't think we were arrogant about it. We just wanted a bigger building so we could reach more people. Then we found this, and it was, to us, it was an outrageous price. There was no way we were ever going to be able to afford it. But we found it, and by faith, we asked that we would be able to have a showing and look at it. Some of you men will remember, by faith, we came out here, we got a key, and we snuck out here on a Saturday. And our men all went over into what is now the old auditorium, because we already outgrew it. And we got on our knees in there. I know one particular person in this room, that day changed their life. But we went over there and we got in on our knees in that what is now the old auditorium, and we prayed. Now, here's the part about this, if you're a little newer to us, you wouldn't know. We didn't have any money. We didn't have any money, but we needed a new building. And every building that we looked at, the cheaper ones, it all fell through. And then this one came along, and it was twice what some of the other buildings were. And so we got a showing. We looked at the building by faith. We had a prayer meeting over here by faith. We made an offer on this by faith. You know, we were joking and laughing. I come in and tell you, I said, "Well, folks, we offered them a bunch of money, and they're thinking about it, and I don't know what we're going to do if they accept it, because we don't have any money." And then, so we made a second offer. This is really fun. It's kind of business, some business fun. And so we offered them some money and big thick contracts and everything. We didn't have any money, but we carried ourselves like we had money, and they thought we had money, but we didn't have any money. We made a third offer as we're negotiating. We're coming down to it, and they're all saying, "We've got these suckers. We're coming in. They're going to give us a bunch of money," and we're going, "We don't have any money. You're a sucker, buddy." Then we got the negotiation down to where we agreed on a price and we're going to buy it. We didn't have any money. And you sat in that building today. There was movement. There was a supernatural intervening of God. And we laughed and we had fun. But it was God. It was the faith of God's people stepping out. Did you purchase your house that way by chance? Yeah, some of you probably did. You're still faking your way through that thing. Hebrews 11 is that's where we find the teaching of the day. In Hebrews 11, it speaks of running a race. There were people that were running a race for God. And they did well in the running of their race. They obeyed His rules. They didn't quit. They kept their faith in God. Faith is a powerful thing. It's not a toy. It's a powerful tool that God gives the Christian. God wants you to have faith, and God wants you to have powerful faith. I've tried in my mind over and over again to word something, and I couldn't get it done, and I'm going to attempt to say it. What saddens me is there are people in this room, you have a very powerful faith, but your faith is almost, it has a reverse effect. You think something bad's coming your way, you freak out, and you make all these emotional traumas to yourself over what might not even come. You emotionally have faith in negative occurrences that move you to do really dumb things. You can exercise faith. What would happen if you'd exercise that same kind of faith in the goodness of God and the power and the strength of God? I call this sermon, and I don't know why, I just call it The Power of Faith. It's very simple. It's not a complex sermon at all. But please listen. First of all, you say, well, preacher, who in the world can have this great, powerful thing called faith? Well, if Hebrews chapter 11, if the whole chapter is a chapter that is indicative of the people that faith is available to, then I must say to you, everybody here, you have available to you this powerful thing called faith. Because in Hebrews chapter 11, there were men that had great faith and women that had great faith and older people that had great faith, but yet younger people that had great faith. There were kings that had great faith, but yet common people that had great faith. There were people that would be what we would call blue bloods from lineage and heritage, but yet illegitimate people, gifted people, ordinary people. I think from all I can tell from Hebrews chapter 11, this thing called faith, God said, I'll make it available to anybody that is willing to do what it takes to have faith become a reality and a strength in their life. They all had one thing in common. They trusted God. The same God. The same God they trusted is the same God that's alive today. He's available today. See, Moses, by faith, was transformed from an excuse-making fugitive into a great liberator and the great lawgiver responsible for the books that we call the books of the Pentateuch or the five books of the Bible. But you all do understand that man... What happened in Moses' life was a result of Moses' faith in God. He didn't start out a Moses. He started out as an adopted kid that stammered while he talked. And he grew into the powerful leader. I think, personally, in the New Testament, obviously Jesus is the greatest of them all. But in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul was to me, the greatest Christian, and hands down in the Old Testament, Moses was the greatest Christian. Moses went from an adopted, stuttering, inadequate, scared, running man to a powerhouse that turned the world upside down because Moses exercised faith in God in his life. Gideon, by faith, was transformed from being a frightened farmer into a victorious general. Who hasn't heard of Gideon and his mighty battles? Say, was their past a handicap? Not from what I can tell. Their past sins did not stop them from having present faith. Say, Pastor, I've got some pretty bad sins in my background. I do not think sins in your past will stop your faith from being powerful today. Now, your sin of today will weaken your faith of today, but your sin of yesterday does not have to weaken your faith of today. Notice, and I love this, I'm a little bit in a teaching mood, but I have to tell you, I am, as I was studying Hebrews 11 for this sermon, I don't know if you've ever read it and ever taken a look at it. Most of you have, but I got to point something out to you. You know all their weaknesses, and those people have a long list of weaknesses. They're not even mentioned in this chapter. They're not. This isn't a chapter that says, by the way, let us tell you everything that was wrong with Moses and everything that Moses did that was wrong. Didn't happen. They just said he had great faith. That tends to make me believe that if we get that sin in the past, if we'll leave it in the past, we pull faith into our now, God could use us like he used a Moses, or he could give us that kind of faith. Had these people ever sinned in Hebrews chapter 11? Oh, wow, had they sinned. Abraham lied twice about who his wife was. Sarah laughed at God. God makes Sarah a promise, and Sarah laughed at God, and then she turned around and denied ever having laughed. Kids can do that to you. You laugh at me? Yeah. I've seen you laugh at me. Moses loses his temper to the degree that everybody's heard about how bad he lost his temper. He's throwing his stuff around. He's hitting things. David committed adultery and murder and caused great chaos. But these fallen people somehow end up in God's list of powerhouses. But it wasn't because they could do great things. It's because they couldn't do great things. So they went through God so God could do through them great things. God wants all people all ages to experience faith in him. So if you're here today and you're in sixth grade, you can have the power of faith and the productivity of faith. If you're here today and you're in your 80s and you say, preacher, you know, I walk a little slower than I used to. I think a little slower than what I used to. Let me tell you something. Faith is available to someone that would be in their senior years as well as it is available to someone that is in grade school. Faith is available to a man. Faith is available to a woman. Faith is available. You say, but pastor, I'm a new Christian. And we have a lot of new Christians in our church. You say, I'm a newer Christian. I've not been around a lot. You mentioned the word Pentateuch earlier today. That sounds like some sort of a native vegetable to me. I don't know what that is. And so, pastor, I'm a newer Christian, and you talk about this thing called powerful faith. I could see some of the saints in our church that have been serving God for 40 and 50 years having available to them powerful faith, but I'm a brand new Christian. How could that be available to me? I don't know why God did it, but I think God comes to the new Christian today and said, I will do powerful things if you will exercise faith in me. And so, we ask ourselves, who can have this great thing called faith? Everybody under the sound of my voice. You can have the power that is available through faith. So, well, what exactly then is faith? What is it? Well, I want to tell you this. Faith does involve obedience to God's word. Faith is obeying God's word in spite of your feelings. Faith is obeying God's word in spite of the consequences. Faith is obeying God's word in spite of the circumstances. Don't misunderstand. Brother Dave, is it that red button right there? Got it. Some of you, you're going to have to be careful because sometimes we think faith is just an emotion. I think there's a little more to it than that. You know, I look at you and you're over in the corner of the church. I say, what are you doing? And you say, I'm having faith. I'm having faith. I think there's a little bit more to it than just feeling something. Faith has more to it than just a feeling. The faith of the people in Hebrews 11 was faith that was enacted. It was energized. Faith was a mental process that produced a physical act. Notice the verbs in Hebrew 11. Let me explain. Abel offered a sacrifice. See, Abel goes down in history for having faith, but his faith moved upon it. He acted upon it. Noah prepared an ark. Abraham offered up Isaac. Moses left Egypt. All those words are verbs. Offered, prepared, offered, left. Isaac blessed Jacob. And these people are the people that are in Hebrews chapter 11 that went down in history for having great faith. You see, it was not them just cowering in a corner somewhere, getting some holy Joe look on their face, or walking around saying, I have faith, I have faith, I have faith, I have faith. Faith is it's movement. Faith has in it, it's not just a noun, it's a verb, it's action. Joseph made mention of the children of Israel. So what happened? This faith, these people had to control their emotions and their feelings and act upon their faith. Moses, you say, well, what kind of emotion would Moses have faced? Probably fear. Moses would have faced fear. And yet, by faith, he walked on dry ground through the Red Sea. What emotion? How about Gideon? Gideon would have had to overcome some emotion to do what he did by faith. And I think probably the emotion of doubt. You understand he was severely outnumbered when Gideon went to battle. He had to overcome his fear of being outnumbered, the doubt of being outnumbered. And yet, by faith, he fought and won a great war. Abel's emotion probably would have been that of family rejection. You understand that Abel gave a sacrifice that his brother would not give, and his brother rises up against him. I'm sure it would have been easier for Abel to say to Cain, why don't we both do the same thing and I'll go along with you? But Abel, by faith, said, I'm going to do the right thing no matter how it turns out. By the way, that cost him his life. But you're not going to exercise faith if you're afraid that when you do, you're going to lose something. What you do is you exercise faith in God and leave the outcome in His hands. Say, that's a little bit scary. Well, it's called faith. It's called faith. And Abel's emotion of family rejection had to be set aside, and yet he by faith offered a blood sacrifice that opposed his brother's belief. David's emotion, I'm sure, could have been fear of failure, and yet he by faith battled and won over a Goliath. Faith moves you. Faith is not sitting still doing nothing. Faith is moving toward the mark, believing that that's what God wants. And don't ever forget this. Our faith is in God. So you want me to put faith in God? Well, wonder if He doesn't come through. I've got news for you. God knows exactly what He's doing. And the times when it doesn't work out right, it wasn't God's fault. I'll promise you. He is the object of our faith. Faith enables us to treat the future as if it were the present. Faith causes us to treat the invisible future as a seeable present. Faith is a mixture. Some people say, you have doubt? Well, then this can't be faith. I don't understand that. Faith is a mixture. Faith is doubt and belief. You say, well, where does the faith come in? You ignore the doubt and you step out on the belief. It is doubt that necessitates faith. If there were no doubt, then you would not need faith. So doubt is an ingredient in faith. You say doubt is present. Okay. Do you believe? Yes. I do both. Okay. Now you can practice faith. Doubt, belief. I then step out on the belief and ignore the doubt. That's what faith is. Faith is not the absence of doubt, but it's the overcoming of doubt and stepping out on the belief. So who could have this great thing called faith? Well, any of us, according to the Scripture. Any age person. What is it? I think it's obedience to the Scripture. It's not just an emotion. It's a belief that God is giving us guidance and we step out on that belief. It's not the absence of doubt. It's the presence of doubt, because it was the doubt that necessitated the faith, but it's the using of the belief, not depending on the doubt, not stepping out on the doubt. Then it becomes faith. You say, well, how does faith work? How does this work? Well, let's see if we can figure it out. First of all, you got to understand powerful, life-changing, world-altering faith. It comes from the Word of God. The basic theme of Hebrews is God has spoken. Now, what are you going to do about it? It's basically what's happening in Hebrews. Hebrews 12:25 says, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. What do you mean? God spoke in His Word. Now do what He told you to do. You say, but I'm scared. I know it's going to take some faith. You say, I'm not sure of myself. I know it's going to take some faith. We dare not separate faith from God's Word. God comes to us in His Word. He tells us what He needs, what needs to be done. He reveals His will to us, if you will. And folks, you say, Brother Owens, I've got some things that I think, you know, it's going to take great faith. And then if I were you, I would stay deeply involved in the Word of God. Because the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So you say, how's faith work? First of all, God interjects the Word of God into us. He uses the Word of God. Then secondly, faith comes not only by the Word of God, but I think it comes when we are building a personal relationship with the God of the Word. In other words, you walk with God. You say, well, I've seen something in the Bible, and I have faith, and I'm going to step out on it. Wait a minute. The Bible is not just a book, and you've seen something in it, and you want to try it. The Bible is God's book, and you are to walk with the God of the book. The book will help us develop faith. We need to walk with the God of the book. Hey, look, folks, let me warn you. Don't ignore Him daily and then run to Him in a crisis time, suddenly thinking you're going to get this supernatural, powerful faith that's going to overcome the world. You're taking a bit of a chance. God's not an emergency technician that you call on only in emergencies. God is the God that you walk with on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday and on Thursday and on Friday and on Saturday and Sunday. You say, those people had great faith. I think some of their faith came from the fact that they had faith on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday. They had faith when it was going well and faith when it wasn't going well. Well, it came time. There was a big thing and they said, well, I'm already walking with God. I already know what the Scripture says. I'm going to exercise faith. The purpose of having a life full of faith, by the way, is to please God. And the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. I had a pastor call, and he wants to talk with me. He said, Brother Owens, I listened to all your sermons. He said, I listened to everything that you post online through Twin Rivers Baptist Church. He said, I would like for you to teach me how you got your new building. And I thought, oh, no. I don't know how you put that on paper right there. And are they going to believe it anyway? But you say, that's unique. Well, let me explain something. I don't think the great thing about our getting this new building is a new building. I think, did you see what God did? That's a whole thing right there. Look what God did. We can say, oh, faith got us this building. I'll tell you what really happened. There are people in this room that their faith was strengthened and God got glory. And everybody got to say, how'd that happen? Come on. God. Thank God for the building, but that is secondary. Primary is the fact that God still rewards faith. Faith is not a tool we use to get what pleases us. And we're not to use faith in God's faith in God to fulfill our will, but His will. See, faith comes from the Word of God. And then if you want that faith to be what it's supposed to be, then you're going to build a relationship with the God of the Word. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, for he that cometh to God. And what's it talk about? It's talk about this element of faith. So look, you say, I was reading through the Bible and I found this verse and wow, I'm going to go exercise faith. I might recommend before you just go do something, you want to figure out how close you are to the God that wrote the book. It's not this isn't a dream come true book where you just flip through it. It's not a catalog. Oh, I'm flipping through here. Look what God promised me. Yeah, do you know the God that promised it? You might need to know Him before you capitalize on the promises He makes to people. It's a fellowship. You know where Abel was found? Abel, by the way, in the Hall of Fame, Abel was found at the altar. Enoch walked with God. Samuel heard God's voice. You see, it wasn't that they just said, I want something. I'm going to exercise faith and go get it. They wanted God, and then God gave them something. It's not that they wanted something. They wanted God. And God said, because you want me, that's the key to the Word of God. Now I can give you something. The better you get to know a friend, the more you are apt to trust them. Say, I want faith in God. Then get to know God. The more you get to know someone, the more apt you are to trust them. So get to know God. So, how does faith work? Well, God brings to us revelation through the Word of God. We are busy building a relationship with the God of the Word that helps us to trust Him. And then, there's a part of faith that, like I told you, there's some people think that it's like an emotional roadblock. You stop and you just sit around going, oh, I've got faith, 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 I've got faith. You know, that's not what it is. It's not just sitting there spinning your wheels talking religiously. Then you say, what do I do? Well, then there's a response that's required on our part. Faith is not a feeling. Now, it will touch our emotions. But you got to always be careful. Never put emotion before principle. And never put emotion before Scripture. You can tack emotion on to some things. But don't let emotion be in the forefront. Faith is obedience to God in spite of our feelings, in spite of the circumstances, in spite of the consequences. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out. When he went out, and Abraham went to a land that he knew not of, he obeyed by faith. So remember, we go to His Word, and it teaches us of faith. We go to Him. We get close to Him. So what we're learning, we're trusting Him. Then it comes to the point where there is a part that we must do. Then let me promise you something. Faith then can produce a reward. In Hebrews 11:6, what we just read, it says a rewarder of those that seek Him. Oh, wait, now wait a minute. You hear those words? That seek Him. If you use the Bible and say, I flipped in the catalog, I chose what I wanted, I'm ordering it from God by faith. Wait, just a minute. Don't forget, there's a relationship with the guy that owns the catalog. And that's why it said there, it said a rewarder of those that seek Him. And folks, you say, what is the reward? I think the ultimate reward for you, it's not what you get. It's what you become, and it's God getting glorified. So let me help you. If your act of faith is all about what you want, you are minimizing powerful faith. If your act of faith is all about glorifying God, you might get His attention. If your act of faith, and I promise you this, the greatest reward is not what you received and not what your faith produced. The greatest reward is the fact that you please God by placing your faith in Him. You gave Him soil that was fertile so that faith could produce a result. And then we could turn around and say, look what God did. Look what God did. Look what God did. And that's what it's all about. You say, now, preacher, now, well, I have faith, but my faith needs to grow. I can see I'm building a relationship with God. I trust the Bible. I'm willing to step out, but I think I need to grow a little bit. Well, let me give you a couple of points, and I've got to hurry. Time flies when you're having fun. I think faith grows as we see God's work. I think faith grows as we see God's creation. Let me read something to you. Hebrews 11, verse 3, it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Folks, our faith in God grows as we see all that He created and how amazing it is. When you look around outdoors and you see how amazing God is, that ought to strengthen your faith. Look, if God can fling the stars into the sky, and if God can make that beautiful ocean that we can drive to in just a few minutes, look, if God can do that, God can meet your need by faith. And it said there, if you want your faith to grow, it'll grow as you look at the wonderful things God's doing. You give Him credit. But not only that, I think our faith grows as we know His Word better. And that goes back to Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Our faith in God grows as we see more and more how true and powerful His Word is. I don't know about you, but when I first started coming to church, I didn't know the Bible well. I had not seen the Bible function. I'd not seen it come true a lot. So I was skeptical a lot. Then I stuck in there and I kept reading my Bible and I kept around the things of God, and all of a sudden the things the preacher was saying was coming true, and the things the Bible said was coming true, and more I'm saying, I'm going to chip in on this deal. It's a pretty good deal. It seems like everything in the book comes to pass. When we were kids, I have a very, very sinful past. We used to pitch pennies. Y'all know what it is to pitch pennies? You get a wall. And you throw a penny, and whoever, three or four guys throw their penny, whoever can get the penny closest to the wall, you win the whole kitty. Man, I won lots of pennies in my day. But it was a gamble. It was a gamble. More and more, I began to realize, it's not a gamble with God. If He said it, it's going to turn out exactly like He said. So if I want my faith to grow, my faith is going to grow as I look at the vastness of what God created, and I say, wow, if God can do all that, God can keep His promises in the book. And then I get into the Word of God, and the more I'm in the Word of God and hear the Word of God preached, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. My faith grows as I get closer to the Word of God. Then here's the part that people miss. You say, I looked at creation. I thought, wow, look at the cow. Wow, look at the giraffe. Wow. Look at that ox. Look at that Democrat. Look at that. Look at everything God created. These animals are incredible. And you say, my faith is growing, and I got into the Word of God, and my faith is growing because I watch what God's doing. Here's the part that people miss. Faith grows as you exercise it. Again, faith is not this feeling. Oh, faith. Come, honey, come up here and say it with me. Look, everybody in the family, we're going to gather around the table and go, faith. Or we could do it this way. Faith. Kumbaya, my Lord, faith. Faith grows then as we exercise it. Listen to this. James chapter 2, verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Faith requires something of you. That's that step out. That's that make the offer on the church building. And then the second time, then the third time, then sign the contract. Somewhere in there, there's a line that's drawn called stupidity too. I don't know where it's at. Faith grows as we exercise it. Dead faith needs exercised. See, I think my faith is dead. Then exercise it. It's like exercising a muscle. Brother Jason had his foot smashed. And they had him casted up and then braced up for a long time. And they started putting him through rehab and working on that thing. But I'll promise you, Brother Jason, if you don't exercise it, it will not rebuild. That thing was harnessed. It was not moving. And they wanted it that way while it was healing. But there came a point then they're going to say, you got to move that thing. You got to exercise that muscle. That muscle will not become strong unless it is exercised. Faith is the same way. You say, Brother Owens, I'm not one of great faith. I have a little faith. But you say, but Brother Owens, I like to have your kind of faith. Well, if I were you, I would start lifting a few of the smaller weights first. You know what happened, Jason? Be careful now. You say, well, Pastor, I love this sermon. I'm going out pumping 400 pounds with my ankle today. You probably snap something immediately and we'll have Hopalong Cassidy back. That's why I called him. He's Hopalong everywhere they went. Listen, if I were you, I'd be careful exercising 400-pound faith when you're really at 2 ounces. What do? You exercise that faith, and you exercise that faith, and you exercise that faith. And you build, I really think there's a building up. That's why the relationship with God and the relationship with the Word of God is a part of it. It's not just by reading about faith in the Bible. It's by getting it involved in your life. And I'm done, but I have to make one more point. I believe then faith releases our potential. I think there are things that God wants you and I to accomplish, but because of a lack of faith, we will not accomplish them. You say, well, I've got a bad past. Don't forget, if you look at the Hall of Fame of Faith, you talk about some bad pasts. The bad past did not limit the faith of people that were living right now. And I think God has some big things, and I think this faith, and as we exercise it, it begins to release our potential. Everybody here has a great potential for God. And let me tell you something, folks. I'm a firm believer in this. If you're here and you're saved, God has something fantastic for you to accomplish in life for Him. You say, preacher, fantastic? Oh, everything that God wants out of us is fantastic. But if God didn't have something for you to do, He'd go ahead and take you to heaven. Why leave you down here? So God has something for you to do. Listen to this verse. Matthew 9:29 says, according to your faith, be it unto you. In other words, I'm going to pass on the blessings, but they're going to be somewhat dependent on your faith. And I've got a feeling there's no limit to what's available. Listen to the wording. According to your faith, be it unto you. Hey, David, the shepherd boy, had no idea the kind of hero God would make him, but faith released the potential of a David. Don't you think it took faith when David went to fight Goliath? It absolutely did. You think that David thought that he had the victory in the bag? He overcame his fear. He said, we're going to do this. Now, where would we be? How about all the children's classes and the Flyers Club and King's Kids and Youth Ablaze and our children's ministry? Where would we be today had David been off in a corner going, faith, 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 faith. Hey, David, you going to go fight Goliath? Faith, 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 faith. David, there's a giant that needs to be fought. I feel it. 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 David, pick up your sling, take the step, go do the job, and God will reward you for your faith. And he did. Noah had no concept of his historical influence on the history of the world and Christianity, but faith revealed his potential. Even the lost people know about Noah. They talk about it. They'll talk about Noah in school. I mean, the public school, they say, well, you can't have the Bible in here. They'll talk about Noah. Noah and Santa. Heroes. Wow. What happened? You do understand that when God said to Noah, build an ark, he built it by faith. And one of the biggest reasons it had to be by faith is God told him it was going to flood and water was going to come out of the sky. There had never been water come out of the sky, and there was never a potential of a flood before. If I said to those of you in this county, we could have a flood, you'd say, sure, we could. We could have a flood very easily. There's water everywhere. We watched the water come out of the sky. When Hurricane Matthew came through, we were not shocked that there was all sorts of water coming down. But in Noah's day, it had never rained before. Noah built the ark by faith. Now, what would have happened if God said, Noah, build an ark. It'll save you and your family. And Noah's off in the corner saying, faith, 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 faith. Oh, faith. Oh, I feel it. I feel faith. I feel faith. I feel. I'm sure Noah's wife would say, honey, could you start on the ark? No, well, I'm faith in this thing. Faith, 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 faith. I have faith. I have faith. I have faith. I have faith. Say it with me, children. We have faith. We have faith. We have faith. Yes, we do. We have faith. How about you?
We have faith. Yes, we do. We have faith. How about you?
They would all drown. Somebody. They doubted. They believed. But they stepped out on the belief. And that enacted that power. Moses had no idea that he would lead millions of people, but he stepped out by faith. You don't have to change the world, But with your faith, you're to change your world. You say, preacher, I don't think God wants me to change the entire country, the United States of America. God wants to change your neighborhood. He wants to change where you work. He wants to change that little realm of influence. He wants to change that Christian that you're connected with or that lost person you're connected with. God has something that He wants to do through you, but it's going to take faith to get it done. Next week, we'll have our Faith Promise Missions Conference. I wish you'd be praying about what God would have you to do for it. Faith. Faith. I have to tell you, the scariest part of the ministry to me, and this is silly, and I'm telling of a terrible weakness. I've got all sorts of them. The scariest part of the ministry to me, through my entire ministry, I was scared to death of the finances of the ministry. Scared to death. I just thought, you know, if I were selling products, and I could say to someone, you give me $10, I'm going to give you a brick, and we've got an exchange, I'd say, I feel secure about that. But this thing of going to the bank and saying, I want to borrow money for my church, and the bank says, okay, how do you get your money? I say, well, we pass a plate around and ask people to lay money on it. Well, can you make them do it? No, I can't. Do they do it faithfully? Many of them don't. And the bank's going to lend me money off of donations? That scared me to death. It just didn't make sense to me. But this is what it did. It scared me so bad. I went to God and said, God, I can't do this. I cannot. There's some reason I am such a weak person. I cannot lead a church. I can't figure out how you do it financially. And God said, well, you let me do it then. You go ahead and get started. And then you just let me take care of the rest. I said, well, okay. But somebody's liable to get humiliated here. You ask anybody that's ever worked with me financially. It scares me to death. You look at the people in Hebrews chapter 11. They were not great people that could. They were people that couldn't. But they let God. And they had to step out believing that He was God and a rewarder of those that would practice faith in Him. And I think the greatest thing, it's taken me years to understand it. I go back to it again. You know, the greatest thing about Noah building the ark, it's not Noah and his family being salvaged. It's not the ark being built. It's not the historical reference back to the ark. It's that Noah took 140 some years to build a boat. It didn't make any sense. God got a hold of that. God got the glory from that. And remember, it's not what you get out of it. It's what you become because of it, and it's what God gets out of it. And that is glory for being the great God of the universe. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I've spoken a few extra minutes this morning. I hope you'll forgive me, but I felt like it was important enough to start this year with it being energized on this thing of faith in God. I think our best years at this church, right here, at this church, I think our best years are ahead of us. Twin Rivers Baptist Church has not even touched the hem of the garment of the potential of what God can do. Who here would say, Brother Owens, God has spoken to my heart. God has spoken to my heart about this subject of faith in my life. Would you put your hand up and let God see it? I hope you'll exercise it. Remember, that which is not of faith is sin. You may put your hands down. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as Savior, why don't you come and let us take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Some Christian out there, you need God's faith. You need to get involved in church. You need to make some sort of a move toward God, get closer to God. You say, I'm waiting for everything to fall in line. That's not faith. That's not faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you need a moment at this altar, I welcome you to it. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. I don't know what about. Is it faith in regard to the salvation of a loved one? Is it faith in regard to something you need to do for God? Has God spoken to your heart about something? we live in such an insecure world, if we don't have control of everything around us, we just about can't make it. That's not what faith is. Powerful faith. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. They said, Father, we believe, but help thou our unbelief. Psalm 105:3-4, it says, glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord, and His strength, seek His face evermore. You let the Scripture lead you, but you get close to the one that wrote the Scripture. Suddenly, you'll see something wonderful happen. Don't be reckless with your faith. Scriptural with your faith. One more time through the song. Don't give up hope. Look at me for just a second. I got to tell you one more story. There was in part of the country, there was a drought. It had been that way for months and months and months, to the point that the crops were destroyed. The town was folding up, blowing away, just dust everywhere. It was so hot. Local Baptist preacher called everybody together and said, folks, we got to get God involved in this. We're going to meet at the church this afternoon. Everybody come. We're going to pray that God will bring us rain, because without it, our city's doomed. He said, you come and you bring your Bible. And then there were people, they came, they gathered outside the church. And one lady had her church hymnal with her, holding on to it. It was her symbol of faith. She said another person came, and there were people that had their Bibles. There were people that had crosses, ladies that had necklace crosses, and they were hanging on to them. The pastor looked her out and seen the entire church. He said, we're going to pray. Right down front was a little bus kid. And right before the pastor prayed, little bus kid took out an umbrella, popped it open, and put it over his head. The pastor began to weep and said, that's it. That's what will bring rain. You say, did they get their rain? I can't remember the rest of the story. But you can let it turn out the way you want. But it was the act of faith of a child. Because at that moment, that child said, I'm not only going to say, faith, 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 faith. I'm getting ready for my rain. May I say to the congregation of the Twin Rivers Baptist Church, I see rain on the horizon. I think God wants to bless our church. I've only been the pastor of two churches in my lifetime. And I can sense when, you know how you can smell the rain coming? You can feel it coming. Do you feel that blessing in the air? So bring your umbrella. I think God has some supernatural business to do around here. I think He wants you to be a part of it.